Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Can you play an instrument?
I can. I can play several instruments, actually.
Do you play the guitar?
Everyone plays guitar. I don't. My wife bought me a guitar 10 years ago for Christmas. It's a beautiful guitar.
Acoustic or electric?
Electric.
Yeah?
It's harder to learn on an electric guitar versus an acoustic.
You got some arguments. The action's a little bit lower on an electric guitar, so you have to press the strings a lot less hard. You
know, I would play it left-handed, so I think she had it strong left-handed.
Oh, okay. All right. So instead of the strings going from...
Stranger. It's not the stranger, Jim. It's not the stranger if you don't know how to play it with either hand.
Keep telling yourself that, okay?
I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
The stranger guitar player.
No stranger.
I'm out.
No stranger to you or us is our friend Jesse Rogers, who joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline, and he's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. Jesse, what's going on with baseball's biggest player and brightest star and reason I wake up in the morning? Like, what? How? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, what a story. And it's not even complete. We know that. There's more to this story for sure. What a job by our investigative team at ESPN. These people are really good journalists and reporters. And they nailed the story, and then all of a sudden the story changed. You know, they were ready to go to print yesterday morning with the interpreter taking all the blame, but saying that Shohei paid off his bets. And then within a few hours, they backtracked and said, no, Shohei didn't know anything about any of it. And they're basically claiming the translator stole the money. Now, I'm not sure I believe that. I think I believe the first story. And the reason they backtrack, for people that maybe aren't following closely, is if they all admit that Shohei paid this guy's gambling debts to a bookie, that is illegal in the state of California. I think it's illegal anywhere to pay a bookie off. You know, you could pay a licensed operator.
Yeah.
We could argue whether that's right or wrong. But in California, it's neither legal through bookmaking or legal through, you know, regular means, because they haven't legalized betting there. So that's why it sounds like the interpreter backtracked, because Shohei could be in big trouble. Instead, the interpreter potentially is in big trouble, but they're claiming theft now, but you never know. Shohei could drop the charges in 6 months. It'll go away. You know, the guy might be taking, you know, the so-called bullet for him, or maybe he did all this behind Shohei's back, but the story's not complete. It's just, it's kind of mars the opening day here. But as I said to Carmen and Cappy, it was just 10 years ago. It'd be a much bigger story, to be honest. But people gambling, as long as it's not on baseball, you know what?
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, the amounts are huge. But Phil Mickelson lost millions and millions. So I think they're trying to hide the fact, you know, trying to disguise who exactly did the betting. But right now, all we know is they say it's the interpreter.
Yeah, just to kind of reset the basics here, you've probably read the story. And if you haven't, like Jesse said, the reporting has been fantastic by the investigative group at ESPN. Shohei Ohtani's longtime interpreter, a guy he's known better part of 10 years, was in debt to a bookie, one who was not operating legally in the state of California.
Because you can't legally bet in the state of California.
Right. There is a $4.5 million debt that has been paid. Some of that had Shohei Ohtani's name on it. Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe two checks had Ohtani's name on them that the investigative team was able to find. And this obviously has, you know, sent seismic waves throughout Major League Baseball. I wonder, you know, what is MLB's stance on this right now? When you bark up the chain here and get to talking to people in league offices, what's next? What is happening now, actually?
Yeah, well, they're sort of behind the story, right? They found out through ESPN's reporting. And, of course, you know, if there's any impropriety towards betting on baseball, that is a whole different avenue. Right now, I think they want it to go away. But the idea that he, you know, MLB security comes through all these teams. I'm at Cardinals camp today. They were here a few days ago. And they remind everybody the do's and don'ts. And there's a lot of layers to it. You know, in the NFL, you can bet on other sports, but you can't do it at the facility, right? At the NFL facilities. In baseball, I think you can bet on other sports at the facility, but there's other, you know, there's other, you know, do's and don'ts involving all this. And so I think the league is going to look at, did he violate any of those do's and don'ts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that he gambled illegally, if it's just the interpreter, then the story will go away. If they find out it was Ohtani gambling illegally, that's a whole other avenue. And certainly if they find out any of them, or I guess Ohtani mostly, was betting on baseball, that takes it to another level. So they're sort of behind on the story right now. And because, I guess, the bookmakers under federal investigation or indictment, that might go first. And they, if the authorities unveil something about Ohtani that we don't know or is illegal, then that'll end up in the league's you know, offices. But I think they're sort of behind the story right now, and I think they would love for it to be all the translator, you know, put it all on him and let it go away.
Jess, were there any hints? I mean, usually if somebody's got a gambling issue, there are at least, I wouldn't say rumors, but there would be hints, there would be suggestions. Or does Major League Baseball and the people around the game just not know enough about Shohei to know that that could potentially be an issue with him? Allegedly.
I think in the Pete Rose days, yes, people would find out, but you could sit at your computer and do whatever the heck you want, or make a phone call from the clubhouse and tell a friend. I mean, that's probably what Pete Rose did a lot of, you know, but you don't even need to be in the clubhouse. Like, you could just do it from home now. I mean, yeah, you're in California, so you can't go online, but there's ways to get it done through bookmaking or overseas or whatever. So I you can hide it a lot better, Tommy. And I'm sure gambling, even on baseball, is prevalent, at least by clubhouse, you know, clubbies and who knows, players too. But you can't tell me there's not one umpire that's not making a phone. I'm sorry. That's just the law of averages say it's going on. Now, maybe the guys making millions and millions aren't going to risk their career, but not everyone in the game is making millions. I'm talking about clubhouse guys or even umpires. So, you know, it's happening. I mentioned earlier, like, I was in the Cardinals clubhouse today, and they're getting their brackets ready and collecting money. I mean, I'm not kidding. There was envelopes of money on the table. You know, just, I don't mean to call them out, but every clubhouse.
Yeah, that's every clubhouse
today.
Wait until fantasy football season starts, Jess. You know how that works in a big league clubhouse.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So I should say, I don't know if the money was meal money or something else. I want to be clear about that. But guys were doing brackets. Okay, there's nothing wrong with saying that. So Tommy, I don't know if people would know because it's so prevalent in the general public, and you can do it sort of privately now.
Baseball side of things, obviously the White Sox made some interesting waves in announcing Garrett Crochet as their opening day starter. He got lifted from the ball game today after allowing a run. I have to check back on him that, see if he got reinserted into the game. You can do that in Tactus League play. But Michael Lorenzen signs, apparently, reportedly, with the Rangers. There had been reports of the White Sox perhaps interested in Lorenzen. What do you know about the White Sox perhaps having made that move, been interested? Was this close? Was this swept in by the Rangers? Or was it not really quite out there?
No, they've been kicking their tires. I mean, I don't mean to disparage the White Sox, but all things being equal, I mean,
but give it a shot.
No, I'm just saying, all things being equal, when you talk to agents, even at this time of year, you know, the Sox weren't going to way overpay Michael Lorenzen. So if he has a choice, he's going to go to a winner. I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, agents say that a lot. Hey, you got, Jesse, reporters, you got to understand that, yes, money's important, but when things are equal, winning is absolutely 1A. And the Rangers just won the World Series. Now, opportunity is also like 1B, and the Rangers have all sorts of injuries. The White Sox had openings too. So I'm saying it seems like an apples-to-apples choice, and he chose the winning organization. Now, I don't know exactly what the offers were. Maybe it was a little bit more in Texas, or maybe Texas showed more love to him. Like, but all things being equal, I could see why he chose the Rangers. There is opportunity, and they are coming off a World Series, and you know, he has a chance to do something special there, and you know, maybe be more in the limelight in one sense as he goes back into free agency next year.
Well, plus no income tax in Texas. So that's
amen to that.
Yeah, there's all those things, yeah.
hey, Jess, can we go back to San Diego and L.A., the Dodgers opening up in Seoul? Why is Major League Baseball doing this?
Well, it's a good question in terms of why are they doing it to open the season.
Yes.
I mean, maybe it's just more practical because midseason, it's hard. Like, they're coming back and playing exhibition games just to get back into the flow and then restart the season.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, and starting at 6 a.m. and all that stuff down the West Coast, what it was even earlier. They're doing it because it's becoming more and more an international game. I mean, that's the obvious answer.
But hasn't baseball always been an international game for the most part?
Not in this way, no.
Yeah, not exactly. Not in this way. Not in this way. It is the big. I mean, I'm actually surprised they didn't play in Japan instead of Korea, because you do not understand. It is the thing in Japan. I mean, that's why there is so much Japanese media following the like. If there's one Japanese player on a team, there's 10 to 15 to 20 Japanese media around him. And if it's Otani or Yamamoto, it's even more. Like, the Cubs have Suzuki and Imanaga, and there are full-time Japanese. It is huge in Japan and Korea. I don't know which is more, but I know it's huge in Japan. So that's the answer, Tommy. It's just this is a whole level of international, you know, interest that the league can obviously make money off of. You know?
I get it.
I mean, if it was feasible, they'd have a couple teams over there in Major League Baseball.
No, I'm sure. I mean, listen, it all comes down to revenue. I get that, but maybe I'm just baseball stupid. But if you're a fan of the Dodgers or the Padres, unless you're Meller, because he has given up on his favorite team and now he's adopted the Padres. I mean,
you
live in California, you get to get up at 3 a.m. to watch your favorite team open the baseball season.
Yeah, but if you live in L.A., you've been in blackout restrictions. You can't watch the Dodgers for the last 10 years anyway.
And here's the other answer, Tom. There's 160 left, including a real opening day at Dodger Stadium. By the way, I got to interview Bryan Cranston yesterday. He's part of Major League Baseball's like opening, so I'm going to write about him next week. And he is a huge Dodger fan, and he was up at 3 or 4 a.m. watching it. But
are they pitching? Maybe his tequila is being sold at the Dodger Stadium.
He's pitching it everywhere.
Right. Huh? Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to write that up next week. But that's the answer. They don't care that two games are 3 in the morning because you have 160 left to love the Dodgers, you know, and two home openers in San Diego and L.A. to show your love there, too.
Listen, and not for nothing, and I have a question for Jesse, but Major League Baseball wants streaming subscribers at this point. Their cable rights in a lot of different places are facing some serious uphill battles and bankruptcies over the last 12 months. And if you're looking for streaming subscribers, a group of fans who are dedicated to waking up at 2 in the morning to watch Shohei Ohtani pitch or hit, they're over there. They're on that side of the planet. And that's where Major League Baseball is trying to bring back some of those dollars and assuage some of the losses.
I get it, but can't you market to them without going over there and playing the so-called opening, you know, day of the season there?
You can, but it's just the same thing. You can stream NFL games, yet we're in Germany next year, right, or whatever.
Yes, but Germany is not. I guess my point, and I'm not trying to fight against
Germans.
Just
really big baseball fans, to be honest with you.
Well, no, but I mean, like, it's already a market they're playing in that you're not introducing Major League Baseball to Seoul, right?
That's true.
Not,
do you know what I mean? It's like you're going to Brazil as the NFL to open the season because the NFL doesn't have a footprint in Brazil.
Yeah, I know. But memorabilia, sale, you know, like a light, you know, all merchandise, you know, being there takes it to another level.
All right, I'm not against it. I just didn't know. It seemed a little odd to me is all I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. I think the answer is they just have a huge audience.
Okay.
They wanted to feed that beast there, you know? Okay. So
Jesse, what's I know you got some stuff to get to at the end here, but I wanted to ask quickly, what is the talk about Shota Imanaga as we get closer and closer to the start of the season for Cubs? I think the guy's a lot better than a 4 or 5 starter. I think he's got a lot more ceiling than that. And I wonder if you've heard the same.
Yeah, I think he's a 3. I do think he's a 3. I don't think he's better or worse than that. I think he's right in the middle. And the reason is, like a lot of 3s, like the stuff is good, but if he misses in the zone, he's in trouble. He doesn't have, okay, if I make a mistake, I can still get you out stuff. He has, I can get you out because I have deception and good movement and swings and misses. But if he misses in the zone or above the zone, which a lot of times he does, that ball is going to fly. I mean, scouts tell me exactly what I've seen. The scouts, what they've told me before seeing him is played out. A lot of strikeouts, but there's going to be some home runs. And I think he struck out 13 on the backfields yesterday. Like, okay, it's still the backfield, but still 13 is a big number. He was second in the Cactus League in strikeouts until, in real games. So you're going to see a lot of strikeouts. You're going to see a lot of deception. You're going to see him. He's a little bit of the lefty Kyle Hendricks. He's going to learn. He's going to adjust even within games. But he's not much better than a 3 because of the things I said. He just can't miss in the zone. His stuff isn't that good. And so there's going to be a few games where there's going to be 2 or 3 home runs given up. But other games where you're going to see 8, 9, 10 strikeouts.
Jess, what is going on inside the world of the Major League Baseball Players Association? And I ask in the context of whether or not this will bleed into the game itself and affect how it's being played or how fans are going to be able to enjoy it or consume it.
Yeah, I'll try to give you the short version. I don't think it will impact the game on the field. I don't. This is really about revving up for the next labor battle. The union's doing a smart thing. The members, I should say, the players, getting ready 2 years in advance instead of scrambling. They want to make sure they have the right leadership in place. Now, I think it's unfair to blame union leadership for the bad free agent offseason, because the two previous to this under the new CBA were good. It's not just, you can't just blame the CBA when one offseason goes bad and there's some reasons for it. But I do think there's some perception, just again trying to drill it all down to the basics, that union leadership, Tony Clark and his people, are really aligned with Boris, and they take care of the most elite players,
right,
the most expensive players, because the top players are the stars, and they dictate the game, and they want to be paid, and that's a lot of the Boris clients. And here's the reason it's happening now. Because Boris, at least perception-wise, has been weakened a little bit this offseason, he's not getting max dollars for some of these players. The other people that don't like Boris that much, other agents, non-Boris clients, are saying, okay, we might need some new leadership that isn't so aligned with this one agent, and now is the time to do that. That's kind of the long story short. It's all behind-the-scenes stuff, but as they rev up for the next negotiation, they just might want a new negotiator who, perception-wise, isn't so aligned with Boris's needs.
Okay. Anything else before we let you go, Jess?
Yes, I was at Yankees camp. I do this old Cub week when I come to Florida.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I saw Baez 2 days ago. I saw Schwarber 3 days ago. I saw Rizzo yesterday, coming off a concussion that ended his season, kind of a scary thing. He's back to normal. And as I've been doing, Waddle, you know this, I've been talking to these guys more about Justin Fields and the Bears than I have baseball. And so Rizzo, big-time football fan, of course, a Miami Dolphins fan, but follows the Bears because of his time here. We had a little conversation about, one, the trade of Justin Fields, and then at the end I asked him about coming back to Wrigley. He has not been back to Wrigley since being traded. Now, that's not going to happen until the first weekend in September, but I imagine he's going to be greeted like royalty when he comes back. I mean, everyone loves Rizzo. There's no controversy with Rizzo. So we talked about Fields and his return to Wrigley. Here's Anthony Rizzo.
I feel like they gave Fields away, right?
Yeah.
A conditional pick, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they obviously have done their research on the dude out of USCA, Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And I think they think he can impact that team that wasn't far off last year, right? Where they end up, like,
they won 7-9.
7-10,
yeah.
We'll see. I mean, it's first-year quarterback, big city, high expectations of the Bears always. So,
you're more concerned about your team. Did you enjoy the season at least till the very end?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch. It's fun to that the Dolphins are like in it now for the last few years. So, obviously, I want them a fan, so I want them to win every year. So when they don't win, it sucks.
Last thing. Most important, September, back at Wrigley Field. Have you thought about it?
Yeah, it'll be special. It'll be cool. We're there on a weekend. It's going to be Yankees Cubs at Wrigley. I haven't been back since I've been traded. So it's a long way away. So, yes, I've thought about it, but it's feels like 2 years away from right now.
Yeah, you see a lot of familiar faces when you go back, I assume?
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen a lot of familiar faces.
Yeah.
With get-togethers and whatnot, so. But yeah, I mean, it'll be fun. Like, amazing music. So, we got to go back and play and just feel the energy. We're feeling like that'll be cool.
You know, they're still looking for a first baseman. The Cubs, they're going to give a chance to this rookie, but it's a guy that of all the guys, he probably should have stayed because they didn't have a replacement ready. But you know, it is what it is.
It is crazy. Like if you go back and look at, I mean. Jed made a lot of really good decisions with regard to move on from that core that helped them win that World Series back in 2016, Jess.
Eventually.
Yeah. No, he did. He did. They were tough decisions. The easy decision is to bring him back. Everybody's happy. No one's going to, oh, you retain Bias. Who's going to be mad about that? You retain Rizzo, but he wasn't. You know, Jed has proven one thing. He is not going to move from his assessment of a player, whether it be a guy like Rizzo, a Cub hero, or a free agent like Bellinger. He makes an assessment. He doesn't move from that. There's a lot to like about it. There's probably a few things not to like about it. But, you know, Rizzo's moved on, and we're still, you know, remember, he turned down a 5-year, $70 million deal. Now we're only 3 years into it. We'll see if he matches the 70. The only problem is that was security where he didn't have to prove it every year. You know, he's continually having to re-sign things. Now next year is a team option. So if the team, Yankees, turn down the option, he's got to go back into free agency. He thinks he can play for a while, though. He looks in good shape, you know, different at 34, obviously, getting in shape and playing, but you know, the concussion was kind of scary, but now with Juan Soto there, at least he doesn't have to do all the work from the left side of the plate. He's got a little help.
Yeah.
But it's always great. It's always good to see him. I love Rizzo. The things he does, like, they have an off day in Chicago when they come, and he's like, yeah, I'll be at Children's Hospital, you know?
That's awesome.
It's like, this guy is just, and he brought all that to New York, all the foundation stuff, and in Florida in his off season, he does the same stuff. So one of my favorite guys to cover.
Jess, before we let you go, you were a big Justin Fields guy. You were a big keep Justin Fields and build with him. Are you okay? You doing all right now that they've made this decision and they're going in another direction?
100%, Tommy.
Okay. I was just making sure, man.
No, but I never understood why it turned into this cult thing. It should have always been, I like him. If they keep him, it's great. But if they find that Caleb is the guy, that's okay too.
You've been in this business a long time, Jess. I mean, a long time, as long as I have. Have you ever seen anything like this in terms of the consternation and the, you know, the behavior of the, I guess you would say, the two sides of this discussion?
I really haven't. Think about the discussion we just had about those old Cubs. Those old Cubs were all-stars, former MVPs, World Series heroes. I get the emotion there that they let him go. They traded a guy after 3 years. We're still debating.
Yes.
In the NFL, you don't debate quarterbacks 3 years into career. And again, I was a fan. But I'm certainly not losing my mind that they made this decision. I agree with you. The weird part is the cult-like attitude about it. Like, okay, yeah, I liked him, but I get it that this guy is potentially a lot more talented.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, the best way for me to describe it or to really process it is I just never felt like the passion intersected with the production. There was a love that existed for what was, in most instances, in a, you know, when you look at the totality of the time here, it was very mediocre. So,
and let me just say this. Maybe that's because he was such a good guy.
No doubt. Absolutely.
You know, even Derrick Rose, I felt, had similar until Derrick said some things. Remember, Justin never...
Well, Derrick was an MVP of the league as well.
True.
So the level of accomplishment was worthy of the passion.
Right, but I think people liked him as a Chicagoan and all that stuff. But I think that's the answer, that he was so well-liked that spilled into, is he talented enough to lead the team over Caleb Williams?
Yeah. Good stuff, Jess. Thanks as always.
You got it, guys.
Take care.
Have a good one. Tommy, I'll see you Monday. I'm in with you Monday.
All right. Jesse Rogers is going to be with me.
Baseball,
amen. Amen. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. By this time, hopefully, we'll have solved the Shohei Ohtani mystery.
Yeah, that way you guys can get real into the palace intrigue of the Major League Baseball Players Association.
No doubt.
For 4 hours.
Yes, no question. Thanks, Jess. Hey, listen, I don't understand the intrigue of starting the season 5 days before the rest of the entire league plays.
It's not for us. It's for overseas fans.
I get it.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
You think that the result is going to be one that is tremendously beneficial for Major League Baseball?
Yeah. It's the idea of getting the 6-year-old kid in Seoul out to a ball game, and he sees it, and that's the story that he tells forever, and you make a lifelong fan, right? I mean, that's the idea. That's why we do this. It's why we sell the stuff. It's why we've got the jerseys and everything. Yeah, I really do think so. And one of the things I said earlier when we were talking to Jess was, you know, the cable rights are gone. The bubble has burst, right? I mean, we are in a brand new world of finding out how these baseball teams are going to put their product on the air or
not.
And
the regional presentation is ultra important.
Absolutely. So if you're looking for people to sign up for a streaming service, you need a lot of them, because how much do you want to pay for a full season of just your baseball team if that's what's on the table? So you need to find more fans, and there are a lot of them over on that side of the planet.
Okay. All right. So when do we find out whether or not this investment will ultimately pay dividends?
Well, Rob Manfred has already told us that it's fantastic and the best thing that's ever happened. So
do you know it's
that
true?
Is done. But yeah, I think we'll see it eventually.
What did you say, Mr. Baseball?
I said, so you know it's true if Rob Manfred
of
said
course.
It. Yeah. The truth is, though, what's the downside?
I know. Look, I'm not suggesting it's a bad thing. I'm just wondering whether or not this is like the panacea for what ails the revenue issues that Major League Baseball finds themselves in.
I don't think there is one, but I think there are a number of ways to backstop that issue, right? There's not a
cure-all. Tapping into other veins.
But you're going to have to, this is going to take a lot of different courses of medicine in order to solve the issues that baseball has in front of it, given the cable.
So both teams are coming back to play some exhibition games before they get back to, that's dumb.
Yeah, it is, but there's no better solution to it.
Tyler, help me out here. Help me.
I think the thing that hurts it, though, is like the cat. And I get what you guys are saying about the international impact here. And yes, that stuff's important. But locally here, I don't know if, like, I bet if I asked my two roommates if they knew that the baseball season has officially started, they would say no.
But were they going to watch 80 games of San Diego Padres baseball this year?
Were they going to watch 40?
If they're not missing anything.
If they knew that game was on at night, they might watch.
You're saying if it was like a 7 o'clock start?
Yeah, like if it was on.
I caught the ninth inning of each of those games.
There you go.
Because I was up stretching in my house, and then I was like, "What's going on?" I could watch the Business Channel, or I could watch Major League Baseball.
The Soul Series.
Watched.
I think that actually might be the panacea to MLB's problems. The Business Channel and Major League Baseball on split screens for old men.
There you go.
I'd watch.
YouTube. Whoa, you just called me an old man. Called me an old man.
I am in that bucket with you, my friend.
I'm glad that you're honest with me.
I am 1 foot in that bucket with you.
That's right.
And a whole lot of young men walking around with canes.
Not a whole lot of young men watching Major League Baseball either.
It's true. You're right in their demo, Waddle. Waddle's in the younger part of their demo.
That's right. Young sport,
he's under 60.
Yeah, he's only got one bad hip.
Do you know what? Ten years ago when they sent out all of their, you know, their information and they were doing their surveys to figure out the average age of the Major League Baseball fan. It was 55 years.
Yes.
55 years old. Ten years later, you know what the age was? 65. It's the same people.
Yeah.
You don't have any young folks that are doing.
So
is
you
Alex
go to
watching
different
Major League Baseball?
Yeah, that's why you go to Seoul.
That's why you go to
your
different parts of the world.
Your son's watching skiing videos. He's not watching
baseball.
No, I'm
not saying he is. I'm saying that's why you go to Seoul. For the Soul Series, the MLB World Tour.
You go to Seoul, S-O-U-L.
You go soul searching for those younger baseball
fans. What would you do for $1.3 million?
I don't know that there are many things.
Save that thought. Save that thought. My guess is you wouldn't do with this Taiwan.
You understand how much daycare is right now?
I'm sure it's
I would fork over a lot of things.
Okay, well, we'll see if you would do what this Taiwanese man did. That's next in Waddle's World.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Welcome into Waddle's World, and we're gonna call a little bit of an audible as well for you, Connor. We're gonna have a little Florida or Ohio on the back end of Waddle's World.
Love Florida or Ohio.
Usually it's Wednesday and Friday, but we're gonna pull the audible right now. Call it, and we're gonna have it at the end of this version of Waddle's World. We missed it yesterday because we had White Sox Reds.
That's right.
Reds, put it on you guys.
The Reds could be a fun team. I hope McClain's not hurt for very long. I want him back.
Who?
He's Matt McClain, your shortstop second baseman slash I don't really know what they're doing with all their infielders.
What is Ellie De La Cruz doing?
He's
going to
play
third?
Short, I think. Right? Yeah, he's going to play short.
You just said the McClain guy was my shortstop.
Yeah, but he's a better shortstop. He played short a little bit last year. I forgot they're kicking him over. I do the AL, you know, I don't do NL stuff.
I heard you and Mellor talking about the 2021 Major League Baseball draft.
Well, I forgot.
I think you spray to all fields.
Hey, we're going to do Waddle's World here. We've got Would You Rather coming up in a little bit. Yeah. Brought to you by our friends at Connie's Frozen Pizza. Hashtag WS Would You Rather. But before we start, Waddle's, how often in a month of shows do you reflect on the fact that you have both John Madden and Pat Summerall talking about you in clips on your radio show? Do you have any, do you get how cool that is?
Now that you mentioned it, yeah, it is cool. I'm very appreciative of it.
How cool that is.
Listen, you know what's even cooler is I was just finding a spot for my All Madden sweatshirt from 1991.
Were you really?
This morning.
Oh, yeah, because the move.
We had the move, yeah.
Where was the sweatshirt?
It was in one of my daughter's rooms. She was, she would wear it when she came home from college.
Is it a crew neck or is
it a hoodie? It's one of the old school, the old champion sweatshirts.
Yeah, fantastic. They're back in style now. The kids wear them.
Yeah.
They wear them about 9 sizes bigger than their bodies.
This one was really big and would fit me back in the day. And my kids had worn it so often. It was washed so many times. I don't think I could put it on.
Can you read what it says?
Oh, yeah. It's not. It hasn't been destroyed or faded in any way.
That's fantastic.
I did have it in a frame, and then one of my daughters took it out of the frame and wore it to school.
That's gangster.
Years ago.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
Did you take the hinges off of her door for that, too?
No, I didn't. No. But it was in a frame, but it wasn't on the wall. It was just like leaning against something somewhere.
You guys, I was over, I don't want to name the guy, but I was over at a different player. He's a baseball player at his house. And they had a bunch of frames just leaning up against the wall, signed stuff and scorecards and things from college. Just leaning up the wall. Hang that stuff, man.
I should.
Put it up there.
It was that year in 91. I think it was me, Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, Freddie Barnett,
Gary Clark,
and me.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny.
I'm not here to blow smoke or anything. That's so cool that you have John Madden and Pat Summerall talking about you weekly on your show. That's fantastic.
I take it for granted.
So what's the sweatshirt plan? Do you have a plan for
no,
the sweatshirt?
I found a spot on a shelf for it. I bring it in. You want to wear it?
Yeah.
You want to wear it one day?
Of course I want to wear it. It's not going to fit me.
We'll stretch it out.
6'3" and have more angles than a protractor, so I don't think it's going to really work.
We'll stretch it out. Just don't get your sweaty head on it, and then it turns yellow.
I don't wear sweatshirts on my sweaty head.
Well, when you pull it over, if any of that sweat from your forehead gets on.
I know how to stretch the neck of a hoodie around so it doesn't hit
you. Don't be stretching the neck on my All Madden team.
No, just a gentle tug. Just a gentle tug on the All Madden sweatshirt. It fits right over the sweaty noggin, and I get to wear the whole thing. All right, we got one.
Hey, before I ask you the question, what would you do for $1.3 million?
Many things.
By the way, that wasn't a proposition. It was just a question.
Can it be a proposition?
No, it could, but it's not.
Are you about to offer me a Klondike bar?
I'm not. So what I am going to offer you is a tournament update from one Tyler Aki.
All right. First game of the tournament, Michigan State.
Whoa, there. Ducks and Cox are squaring off ahead. What? Yeah, it's the Gamecocks and the Ducks. Oregon and South Carolina.
Duquesne with the early upset today. They are the really only agent of chaos that we've seen so far today. An 11 taking down number 6 BYU. Creighton dominated Akron. Arizona also crushed Long Beach State. North Carolina 116 over Wagner. That was easy. Illinois with a nice comeback victory as well. They ended up winning by a pretty comfortable
margin. They were down one at the half?
They were up one at the half.
They began the game
down 9-0 and came all the way back and won 84-69 thanks to a 23-5 run.
Nice.
And then currently, Oregon with a 20-point lead over South Carolina.
That's the game I was talking about.
Up 9 over Dayton at the half.
What are the big games, or as you would call them, it's hard to call them in round one big games, but the bigger games, the marquee games as the evening will set upon us.
Yeah, big games to watch tonight. McNeese and Gonzaga also have...
That's what I said.
Samford and Kansas and Drake and Washington State.
I would classify those as
the three best. Also, Colorado State, Texas. Those are the four biggest teams of the night.
Did Santa Clara make it into the tournament?
Santa Clara, no, did not.
When does Wisconsin play?
They are tomorrow.
Do they play?
Yeah, I think they're the last game of the night tomorrow.
Oh, really? Prime time.
We have
to lose in front of the country.
There are 8:40 on CBS tomorrow night.
Oh, on a real network, too. That's my favorite part of the tournament, finding out networks that I've never heard of before and throwing them on my television. Love it.
Okay, here's the story I was talking to you about. My guess is this is not something that you would participate in.
for $1.3 million.
A Taiwan University student who had his legs amputated in the hopes of winning a $1.3 million insurance claim has been arrested on suspicion of fraud, as per a report in Business Insider.
Oh, it's easy to catch him.
The Taiwan Criminal Investigation Bureau said that the 23-year-old who goes by his last name only, Zhang, forced himself to have double amputation after he put his feet in a bucket of dry ice for more than 10 hours, which caused frostbite. What he was trying to do was file a $1.3 million insurance scam.
From against whom? The dry ice company? Like, what was the overarching, what criminal mastermind?
By the way, investigators said that the young man lost money on cryptocurrency.
There it is. Yeah, yeah, there it is. That sounds right.
And he also said there were some gangsters after him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
the large shipment of ivermectin at his door.
Said that a few days before the incident, he filed for life, health, and accident insurance. So he was claiming that this was an accident. The sum of the insurance policies, $1.3 million.
You guys are never going to guess what happens to me. So I'm in the kitchen, and I'm taking the dry ice out of the dry ice shelf, right? And I drop it in the bucket, see? And then I step in both buckets, and I'm stuck there for 10 hours. This was an accident. It could have happened to anybody.
Yeah.
He's like the guy in the infomercial getting stuff out the shelf, and everything falls on his head. No, if you only had a dry ice bucket, you'd be fine.
Yeah, this was, he was trying to sell frostbite. But it was also reported that the weather on the night of January 26 was nowhere close to below freezing.
Well, that's... You need that for frostbite.
As Taiwan is a subtropical region, cases of severe frostbite requiring amputation are unheard of due to natural climate conditions.
Rare. Fairly rare.
Would you have not just one of your legs, but both of your legs amputated for $1.3 million?
See, that's what I like. Most people just dip a toe in the water, and this kid's throwing both legs in. I appreciate that. A lot of people say, you know what, $1.3 million? Settle for half that. Just go right leg. This kid,
no.
Both legs.
Nope.
Nope.
12-year-old gets a hangover after being served alcohol at a Michigan Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, that's
his
that's
virgin
bad.
Strawberry daiquiri wasn't exactly a virgin strawberry daiquiri.
That's no good.
A 12-year-old was accidentally served the adult version with rum at a local Outback Steakhouse, according to a report from the local television station. A preteen who said he knew something was wrong because his drink didn't taste normal.
His Coke is flat.
The daiquiri contained rum, and the youngster took a few big swallows of it before he got what the local television station said was a funny feeling, saying his head started to hurt and his heart was racing.
Did you ever wait tables growing up? You probably
did. I did not.
Never waited tables.
No, Tyler, Jeff, you know what I did? I cut lawn.
You cut lawn?
And I painted the inside of industrial buildings.
That's the inside, but you wouldn't do outsides.
Well, they weren't. That wasn't asked. But when you needed a good coat of lead-based paint put on a cinder block wall,
sold.
I'm your guy.
You're going to be filing an insurance claim soon. Did you guys ever wait tables?
No, I was a umpire, lawn cutter, and retail person.
Jeff, did you wait tables?
Meller was a gigolo.
Is guilty. No, my wife, though, was a waitress, so I have heard lots of stories.
I waited a lot of tables. I was an English major, so that means I waited tables for about 4 or 5 years after college. I wouldn't do, like, if someone at the table asked for a virgin daiquiri, I wouldn't do it because I was afraid of exactly that.
Really?
I'd have the bartender make it, and I'd have somebody else bring it over to the table. It was just like a weird fear that I had of exactly that happening.
Did you engage the customers in just random conversation, or were you just kind of quiet and did your own thing?
It depends.
Because you have a very kind of bubbly, effervescent personality, and you like to engage and interact with people. How's your day going?
This was a younger Connor, right? Okay. I wasn't walking around with my 30 pieces of flair or anything on the outfit, but this was a younger Connor, Tom. So the answer to that question is,
I believe it's 17
the minimum. On the night we had before our shift.
Okay. Like if you were hungover.
Yeah.
If you'd had the non-virgin strawberry daiquiri.
That's right. If
we
were carrying last night into the next day.
Yeah.
Then no, I wasn't super
talkative. Could easily have been, what the hell do you all want?
Yeah. No, that's for sure. Worked at the original Famous Dave's up in Hayward, Wisconsin, the day we ran out of ribs. So that's a tough one. And you just kind of get through. You just kind of push and don't talk to people.
Yeah.
But you can always tell the table you're working at where you're like, okay, if I turn it on a little bit here, it's going to be a more lucrative afternoon for me. And that's never a great feeling, but you do it.
Yeah.
And then you just do it.
Yeah.
How close was the 2005 masterpiece film Waiting? How close to that was being accurate?
I don't think I saw that. Who was in that?
It's Ryan Reynolds, and it's Justin Long.
Dane Cook in the heyday. Dane Cook.
Luis Guzman is in it.
Yes.
Anna Faris?
Yes.
Is in it as well.
Yes. You mentioned Justin Long.
Is she in the business any longer? I haven't seen her in anything.
She's so good.
That episode, something about your mother. Not your mother.
How I Met Your Mother?
Not your mother. Just like that's what it says.
How I Met Your Mother.
My apologies for how that was presented, but you know what I'm
calling
saying.
Mom. Yeah, I think she still works. To answer your question, Jeff,
I think she still works.
The 2005 movie Waiting is essentially a documentary.
Oh. Yeah.
Have you never seen it, Waddle?
I have not.
Oh, no.
David Koechner's in that as well.
Oh,
He's the manager.
Jim Kine.
Yes, David Koechner's
you
in that too.
You so need to go check that out,
I got David
Waddle.
Koechner's phone number in my... you want to call him
at
the break?
Call him up.
Yeah.
Call him up.
Before we go to break,
you
go
need
ahead,
to
now.
See Waiting.
It's very
like,
good.
Like, put that on your high.
It's very
it's
good.
It's right up your alley.
Yeah.
Before we go to break, and we come back with a thrilling edition in honor of Connor's presence today of Florida or Ohio, I just want to let you know this is out of Nashville, Tennessee. Tennessee lawmaker has filed a bill that would ban marriage between first cousins in the volunteer state.
Is that going to pass?
I doubt it.
Not sure. But the law has been presented for a vote.
And this is the, I'm going to go ahead and say, first time it's been presented in the great state of Tennessee.
The House Bill 2041, that's the number of it, initially filed for instruction by Darren Jernigan out of Old Hickory. That's his district.
Yeah.
Prohibits marriage between first cousins.
And his constituency is up in arms about this?
It doesn't say. It's really, you know what it is? In an apropos fashion, it is a very short article. And the headline is very catchy. Tennessee could ban marriage between first cousins.
Don't ask
There's
questions.
There's a banjo playing in the background in your mind, isn't there?
Well, right yeah, now? I mean, listen, this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The monkey's not clapping the cymbals, it's playing the banjo.
It's a bold choice, Cotton. We'll see if it works out for the congressman.
And finally, really, I want to give you this headline also before we take a break and come back with something even more strange. Ex-Pearl, Mississippi police officer who made a man lick a urine off a jail floor has pled guilty.
To being a jerk?
Yeah. Yes. He was an ex-police officer who made somebody that he arrested lick urine off of the jail floor. He's pled guilty, and he's no longer a police officer.
It's a power trip you just didn't need to go on, buddy. You lose your job for that. That's what you do.
It gets worse when we come back, Florida, Ohio.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida, Ohio brought to us by...
It is brought to us by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com.
Are you
There's a little bit of trash talk in there. A little Florida or Ohio trash talk
locked
taking
in?
Place.
Listen to me.
I don't think you were
not
focused.
Not only did I get Florida or Ohio right the last time I was here, I was within 40 miles
you
of
are.
The Ohio town.
It's true.
I nailed it.
You did.
I'm ready for Florida or Ohio. Live for this. Bring it on. Now I'm going to be wrong.
Probably so.
Dad facing criminal charges after repeatedly calling a school to complain about his child's homework.
What kind of charges could they?
A man is facing multiple criminal charges after he was accused of repeatedly calling the school his child attended, berating and threatening the staff about the amount
different.
Of assigned homework.
Yeah. Oh, the amount, not the
amount.
Okay, so it's a quantity, not a quality.
He's facing two counts of telephone harassment and one count of menacing.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, so what are you against education or like? I mean, if your son comes home with a ton of homework. That sounds like a conversation that you could have in a pretty reserved and mature fashion.
You would think so. But so we're dealing with someone who's not reserved and mature.
Maybe after a half bottle of Jim Beam, you know, winter cut or whatever it is.
Devil's cut. No, I like Jim Beam winter cut. Things had gotten tough in Sandusky, so I squirreled this Jim Beam away in 75 and busted it out now when Junior hit the sixth grade.
It's high school. Come on.
Oh, he's in high school homework?
Yeah, he's in high school.
Isn't it high school homework?
Is this high school?
It is elementary school.
Oh, damn! Oh! Maybe you were dialed in.
So this dad's calling in because the finger paint assignments at the house are too hard?
Adam Sizemore called the school multiple times on March 1st.
Adam Sizemore, did he play second base for the Cardinals last year?
Grady Sizemore. Grady Sizemore.
And was threatening the principal by telling him he, quote, better put his big boy pants on.
Cincinnati, Ohio!
This man's Twitter handle is at Jeff996125717.
Do you know that?
And his avatar's an egg.
You know Meller's kids have never had a B?
Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me at all.
You know why? Because they like to eat, and if they don't get all A's, they don't get fed.
The Meller family brings home A's.
Yes.
Period. Yes. That does not surprise me.
Non-negotiable.
It's a very smart family. Yes. That doesn't surprise me one bit.
No.
But tell him when they do get straight A's, they're handsomely compensated.
They get a cash prize.
Yes.
Is it a personal pan pizza? Like a book it no. celebration?
It's $50 cash.
Ooh.
For straight
spend
A's.
It any way you want to.
Yeah. Can you see Alex?
And that's what, quarterly? Is it?
Alex walking through the house waving $50 in cash. Unfortunately, his sister Peyton got a B+. And she didn't get $50, and Alex is running around the house taunting.
No. He's much more likely to come home with the B+ than she will.
Okay.
I promise you that. Again, remember, ceramics. He did get a B+ in ceramics.
In ceramics? Did he make the cigarette
ashtray?
No ashtrays anymore.
He's actually making a piggy bank for the money, which makes it really hard.
That is a really good point
to deal with.
I'm going to Cincinnati, Ohio.
I've got Florida here. Give me Florida.
Where at? Florida. See if you can nail it.
I'm going to go ahead and say,
what was this guy's name again? Adam?
Adam Sizemore.
Adam Sizemore.
That makes me think Ohio, but I'm going to stay with Florida.
Because you're thinking of Grady.
It's probably true. I'm going to go. Give me Clearwater. I'm gonna bring up Google Maps right now. I'm gonna go Clearwater.
Meller, where are you at?
Florida. Yeah, I'm gonna. I think the guest. I'll go with Connor as well on this one, and let's go with Miami, Florida.
Ooh, wow, Miami.
It took place in the douche capital of the Mac, Oxford, Ohio.
Yes, and I'm 40 miles from there. Yes,
no,
the douche capital of the Mac.
Yeah,
what do you mean the Mac conference?
Where Miami, Ohio is.
Miami, Ohio.
See? Let me let you know that Miami of Ohio is considered the Harvard of the Midwest.
I was right about Miami. I just had the wrong Miami.
Yes.
My best friend in the world, Pete, went to Miami, Ohio. I toured the place. It's a great. His parents both went there.
You agree with me, Connor?
Oh, my God. It's just pop collars and puka shell necklaces in 2003, which means something to a certain age group.
You could get that in Syracuse?
No, you can get that in Syracuse.
Yeah.
We're not on the Mac, though.
We're touring the campus, and his dad, who went to this school, right? Miami, Ohio has been a university since before Florida was a state, right? Yeah. That's how old a college it is. He's walking around. We're walking, and he's looking at this building on one side of the quad. He's like, that building used to be over here. And we're like, Greg, what are you talking about? He's like, no, I swear to God, that building used to be over there. He gets so loud and indignant about it. The docent, the person walking us around campus, hears it and starts backpedaling during her little trip and goes, and of course, on your right, the library in here, Miami, Ohio, built in the founding year of our entire university and has been right here. As you'll notice, the cornerstone says 1721 or whatever the hell it says. Right? He thought the library, the first building on campus, used to be on that side of the quad and would not be convinced otherwise. Fantastic moment.
Yeah, that's not a story you want to tell many people.
And here I've told a lot of people.
By the way, 40 miles away. I may
Were
be within.
Miles?
It's less than that, I think. From Bullseye. Cincinnati to Oxford, Ohio.
That sounds right.